Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But it says, "Mesha, the king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered under the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool." In other words, he paid tribute. Moab was subject to and subjugated by Israel. But when King Ahab, in verse 5, was dead, the king of Moab saw that he had an opportunity to break free of Israel and not pay the tribute. And I'm sure that there's some commentary that can be made there, but let's continue with the story. In chapter 6, and King Jehoram of Israel went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. Again, more commentary could be made there. David at one point numbered Israel. In other words, he took a census, and it wasn't the women and children necessarily he was worried about. Not that they're least or anything. But he, David, and here Jehoram, were counting the number of men that could serve as soldiers, that he could put out in the field as an army. We know that David was judged severely because of his census, his numbering of Israel, counting the different spearmen and horsemen and chariotsmen and slingers or what have you. Is it wrong to count the number of people? No. But you see, we should trust in God. Let the Lord fight our battles. To stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show unto you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you're not going to see him anymore, he says, because the Lord will give you victory. That's, and I think, Exodus chapter 14. God will give you victory if you trust in him. You might get victory on your own, but you should trust in the Lord instead of horses or armies or your might or your power. We should trust in God. Failure to trust in God brings us such heartache. I believe the Word of God, especially the Old Testament, is a book of what if, or only if. It's a melancholy account. God appeared to Moses. God delivered through Moses the children of Israel. They went out of Egypt with a high and mighty hand, led by a cloud by day and a fire by night. But then, as we see in this chapter, the prophet of God says that if the king of Judah wasn't here, I wouldn't even look in your direction. And probably, and I'll make this comment, that probably describes most of the church today. "Oh, you don't understand, brother, we have this." I know. But you don't have this. You don't have this. But the king of Israel said, "I have to make sure that my 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams and all that wool, the tribute, I need to make sure that I keep that. I can't lose that. I mean, my father had that. It'll show weakness if I let him go, etc." So he numbered Israel, trusting in the flesh. Then he sent to the king of Judah and said, "Hey, I'm going to go beat up on Moab. You want to come help?" And Jehoshaphat said, well, your people are as my people, and we're brothers, and that's fine. I'll go with you. And they go. And they go a certain way. And if you look in the back of your Bible, you find Edom and Moab and all of these different places. They went towards Edom to go around, I guess to go and flank Moab or something. And along the way, they picked up the king of Edom. Now, this is an interesting picture. You've got the king of Israel. Israel is in rebellion to God. You've got the king of Judah. I guess he's in ignorance, but still the people of God. And they pick up the Edomites, who were sworn enemies of Israel. These three, they shouldn't have been together, but they went. And the way that they went through, I guess, a little stretch of arid land or something, and there wasn't any water. And there wasn't anything to eat at some point, I guess. And they said, we're going to die out here. And at one point, that's what they said, that God sent us out here, these three kings, to kill us. Again, let's look at the picture. One of these kings is in rebellion. To begin with, his kingdom shouldn't be. And then he trusts in his armies and not in God. Eventually they pick up the prophet Elisha. But they were thirsty, running out of food and saying, are we going to die here? But finally they do find the prophet Elisha. And in verse 13 I'll read it. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. That's a slap in the king of Israel's face, but a correct one. Again, they were in rebellion to God. And the king says, no, 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 no. But Elisha says, okay, all right, all right, all right. But understand this in verse 14, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. Again, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I want to say, I'm not a prophet. I understand that. Occasionally I will make some comment about the state of the church. There are prophets. We know David Wilkerson. He just lost his life a few weeks ago. I would say that he's a prophet. There are a few others. Prophets often bring correction and tell where a person or a church or a denomination or an entire movement has gone astray. Nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. The first thing you do, I guess, when you're told that you're wrong is to lash out and to find reasons to smear the prophet or something. Because, hey, you know, he told me something bad about myself. I don't want to hear it, in other words. But the reason why God sends prophets is because God loves his children. He is not out to hurt them, although the news may hurt initially. He's out to help them. Again, I'm not a prophet, but the church is in bad shape, and we should repent. We should return to our first love. And I don't want to chase this rabbit too far, but there are so many different alliances that we've made. The major denominations have made alliances with those that are Edomites. They're not the people of God. They are enemies, really. I could think of psychology. Christians have no business having anything to do with psychology. And again, I don't want to chase this rabbit that far, but psychology is not of God. It's not a valid weapon for the Christian to use. In chapter 5, I'll address this more fully. So they were in rebellion. They were in the desert. They were dying of thirst. And the prophet says, I don't even want to talk to you. But, in verse 15, now bring me a minstrel. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, upon Elisha the prophet. Things are bad. You guys are in rebellion. That guy's an enemy. You're in such sin, I don't even want to talk to you. And Jehoshaphat, you shouldn't even be here. But bring me a minstrel. I'm reminded of the prophet Samuel. Things were bad. Eli's sons were doing evil. It talked about a famine in the land of bread, the word of God. Not physical bread, but spiritual bread. And it says, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of God, that God called that young prophet Samuel. And he was a great judge all his life in Israel. And he's the one that called and anointed with olive oil King David. A great man of God. When things are bad, when things look worse, again, God hasn't forgotten, and God loves his children. And God will yet send another judge, send another prophet, send another missionary, etc., because God loves his people and cares for them. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. We understand that David, before he was king, before he killed Goliath, before he killed that lion and that bear, he spent time, maybe in the same desert, who knows, praying and singing praise to the Lord. And in his heart, preparing his heart and putting his trust in the Lord, and not in princes and not in horses. And God empowered him to kill that lion and that bear. God gave him the strength and the anointing. The same thing that preachers pray for, the anointing to kill Goliath. And then he ruled Israel. Now, I want to make a statement here. The way that we in the modern world, at least evangelical or Pentecostal or fundamentalist circles, the way that we hold our services is that we sing, we praise the Lord. We'll do the little business, we'll take up an offering or something like that, but then we'll preach the gospel. The old term, maybe not quite in our tradition, but the old term is there was a mourner's bench, maybe up in front or something. It's about the same thing as the altar that we ask people to come and pray at. Not that a little bench of wood is anything, but it's that you're symbolically coming to the Lord, surrendering, submitting to the Lord, and trusting in the Lord. The one that arranged this pattern, the one that came up with it a couple of hundred years ago or something, was Charles Finney. He's the one that figured this out. And I think it's a good model. Finney had issues with some of his theology. I understand that. But in addition to coming up with the structure of our services, he also preached against Freemasonry and all but banished it from Britain. The preaching of the gospel. We should stand against falsehood and the cults, let's say, or false doctrine. We should contend for the faith. Again, he had a few errors in his life and in his ministry and doctrine, which you could thank Finney for the structure of our services. But what do you know? We find it here in the Old Testament. That when you had to get a hold of God and you had to see a move of God, one good way to do it was to praise the Lord. Was to shout the praises and glory of God. And it says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And it says that in the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt and marched in the desert, the 12 tribes were arrayed, but the one in front was the tribe of Judah. Judah meaning praise. And again, it's symbolic. You should trust the Lord and not in psychology or half a hundred different things that the church is into these days. You should trust in the Lord. And when you put Him first, and when I am lifted up, He said, I'll draw all men unto myself. The hand of the Lord came upon him. And in verse 16, 17, he says, Thus saith the Lord, Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. That's faith. You're not going to see it. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to see the rain cloud over there and wait 24 hours and there's the flash flood. You have to walk by faith and not by sight. You have to trust in the Lord and believe Him. I'm reminded of Elijah, Elisha's mentor. He prayed and prayed and prayed 7 times, I think it was, and finally saw the cloud as a man's hand, small, way afar off, and said, You better get off this mountain because the valley's going to flood. It's a similar miracle. Oh, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord, verse 18. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. I'm going to satisfy you in the desert. Remember, in the wilderness, the people cried to Moses. They said, You brought us out here to kill us. We're dying of thirst. Well, Moses took his staff, struck the rock, and water came out. Enough to water 3.5 million people, to quench their thirst, and also their flocks and herds. Filled up their canteens, etc. God supplied and made a table in the wilderness. He is our supply. He is our supply. We need to leave off all these other methods and alliances and doctrines. He is our supply. If you want to see the lost one, look to Jesus. Preach Him. If you want to see drug addiction broken, preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want to see families put back together? Preacher, preach the gospel. I don't care about your marriage counseling seminar. I don't care. Preach the gospel in your pulpit. And let God, and believe God, to touch the hearts. And He's able. He is able. Trust in Him. And in verse 20, And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, look at that, that behold, there came water by way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. God quenched the thirst, and this obviously, water is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But it says, in the morning when the meat offering was offered, in other words, back in Jerusalem, at the temple, 9 o'clock in the morning, when that morning sacrifice was offered, that's the time that the torrent of water came from over that way toward Edom, rushed in and flooded the valley. The Holy Spirit, I've said this many times, I'll say it again, the Holy Spirit comes through the cross of Calvary. The word Pentecost, which I alluded to earlier, means 50 days after Passover. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, the one that reaches into the heart as we preach, comes to us through Calvary. And to finish this off, and in verse 21 it says, the Moabites got up that morning and they looked, I guess toward the east or something, and the sun was shining upon all that water. All that water in the arid desert. Where'd that water come from? Well, it came from God. But they looked, and the sunlight was reflected off of the water, and it looked like, I guess it was sort of a mirage or something, but it looked red. And they said, huh, that's blood. Man, he must have gotten nuts overnight and killed themselves. Well, let's go. Let's go to the spoils. Let's steal their gold or whatever. Make sure they're defeated, etc. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil, in verse 23. But when they got over there, when they came over the hill, they realized, hey, wow, there's water here, and wow, they're going to kill us. We were fooled. Praise God. And Israel and Judah and Edom beat the Moabites. One final thought. The blood that they thought they saw was truly the water that God provided in the wilderness. But they thought it was blood. This life-giving flow that quenches the thirst in the soul, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The enemy, Moab, thought it was blood. Blood generally means death. Paul said, I believe, death works in us, but life in you. It was the Lord dying on the cross that gave us life. I could quote other verses, but I think you understand that it took the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us salvation. And it takes dying to self in us, forsaking self, if we're going to be used of God. But the lost, the sinner looks at us and thinks we're fools, wasting our time in church, singing those old hymns or those new other songs. They look at us and think we're crazy. They look at us and think that we've given up our life, given up our will, we're brainwashed, etc. They look at us and think the equivalent of death. But the only way that sinner is going to make it to heaven is by coming in to the church and believing the gospel and repenting and sitting here with the rest of the fools. But I'm happy to be a fool for Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, and I pray that it has helped someone today. Please, please be with us. And Lord, as we see in this chapter, we put our trust in you. We depend upon you. We rely upon you. And help us to forsake every other method and mode of help. And we trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
He's all I need. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.